This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. If you're leading an organization, what's your L&D or leading learning and development game plan for your organization? Do things have to be different because of the pandemic? Well, I'm here with Ulrika Brunner, CEO of Inspire Group Asia, to discuss this and other areas of consideration. Good morning, Ulrika.
Good morning, Frida. How are you?
I am very good. And, you know, of course, we've just gone through a pandemic. We're still going through a pandemic. How do most companies usually respond during a crisis?
Well, from what we've seen in this crisis, you know, they've been forced to face up to the strengths and weaknesses of their business, right? Mm-hmm. For some, it results in paralysis. Like, we don't know where we're even going to start. And for others that we've been working with closely, you know, they see it as an opportunity to transform how they operate.
So it's also how the company is before this. I think the pandemic has forced them to really look at their L&D.
Oh, absolutely. But also I think, you know, in their business in general, in terms of, you know, what's working, what's not working. I mean, you know, imagine just, you know, hospitality, retail, they've had to rethink the way that they are operating, right? Trying to get revenue from other aspects. So yes, of course, learning and development is a big part of that because you're transforming people's behavior.
So in your area, right, what did you see most of your clients coming to you for last year and this year?
Yeah, I think we've seen a lot of focus on looking at how we are collaborating and supporting each other. Mm-hmm. So, for example, with several clients, we've rolled out very large mentoring programs, and some of them have combined it with coaching as well. Mm-hmm. So really creating a new culture of mentoring and coaching. Mm-hmm. One client in particular that I'm thinking about, which is a large telco here in the region, mm-hmm. you know, they've actually made mentoring this new way of life in the organization because of the importance of actually creating these valuable conversations and keeping in touch with the people around us, right? Mm. Knowing where everybody is, because everybody's facing pretty scary times, right? We have the uncertainty of, will I still have a job? What about my team? How are they doing? There's anxiety. So opening up those venues to be able to collaborate both with more senior people as a leader, but also with peers and our teams, I think that's been a big focus.
Right. And is that the right strategy? When because I'm just asking, what should companies be doing? Is that the right strategy?
I think it's really important because we need to focus on these communication skills and how we are inspiring the people around us, right? Mm. And remember that, you know, we've never faced a situation like this before. And the uncertainty of it means that, I mean, leaders are going to have, you know, a growth mindset. They need to be able to lead themselves before they lead others. But if I'm not communicating that in an authentic way, the teams around us might get a little bit lost. So really making sure that those communication lines are open, authentic and real is really important and can be really tough, right? Because everybody's worried. So, you know, here I am, I'm supposed to be this big boss. And at the same time, I have to be open and honest and show vulnerability. I mean, that's pretty tricky, right, in all of this.
Right. You know, I've been getting your newsletters as well. And one of the things you all talk about is reflection, right? And why is reflection important?
So we are big believers in reflection. We incorporate this in every learning solution that we do because it's really giving yourself the time to consider what you are, for example, if you go through a leadership program, right? What have you been learning during the workshops? What are you learning from your peers? What have you seen? Because research does show that leaders take that time to reflect and think about what they've seen. They stand out because they've tested different assumptions. You know, they've made connections between different events, not just maybe their personal experience, but also, you know, talking to peers and gathering more information. So you're then able to adapt because you're in that space of continuous learning, right? If you don't give yourself the time to think about it, you know, you might be missing some really important information that will help you, you know, to sort of identify what's worked in the past, what didn't work, what should my focus be. So taking that time for yourself, I try to do this personally, you know, a little bit every day, just to sort of think what worked best, what didn't work, what am I going to do more or less of tomorrow?
More or less coffee.
Never have too much coffee. You say that. Come on.
And I think it's or other beverages. So, you know, when we talk about reflection, right, we always think it's time wasting or that, you know, it's otherwise you'll be making these knee-jerk reactions. So, you know, the other thing is you had this newsletter to talk about 8 strategy areas that companies should be looking at. So what are these 8 areas that we should be looking at?
You know what? I really think, okay, when we're talking about learning and design, yes, there are different strategies. But, you know, when I was actually reflecting on this, Frida, is for me, what I've seen with the clients that we're working with throughout the region, the focus right now has to be people, people, people. Mm. It's like, what is going on in their space? You know, where are they at? What are the main challenges? How can we support the people leaders in our organizations? You know, what's happening? Again, you know, that reflection piece, doing that together, where you're asking, you know, what's working for you? What's not working for you? What are you hearing from the ground? So, there may be 8 different strategies, but personally, I believe, you know, you've got to start with the people. And I think what we're seeing from our perspective is that the companies that are starting to have a clearer pathway of where they're going, you know, whether that is redefining their strategy, etc. It's really if they focus on talking and listening to the people and doing this as a team together, not just directing, you know, and giving orders,
right.
Those are the companies that are making the biggest strides. It may be frustrating because it takes a bit more time. You need to spend that resource, right, together. But I think that's where we see the biggest strides forward because you need to try to keep that optimism as well.
Right. And, you know, it's obviously tougher if the organizations are larger.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, how are you going to reach? How are you getting your messages out there in a consistent way, right?
Mm. And what have you seen? Like, you know, I mean, people have had to, you know, previously, I guess, work together and having to travel and the fatigue of doing things online. How has that been, you know, how has that affected productivity as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, at the beginning, this time last year, so in March last year, there were a lot of organizations that, you know, I was talking to and they were saying, oh, you know, I'm not sure how I'm going to make sure that my team is productive. I can't look over their shoulder and how are we measuring productivity? And one thing that we've learned from, you know, our colleagues in New Zealand, you know, where Inspire Group is originally from, is watching Jacinta Ardern, you know, how her focus is on being kind. So not just being kind to yourself, first of all, but being kind to the people around you. And I think, you know, we have to keep this in mind. You know, these are unprecedented times. And like I alluded to earlier, you know, it's like we're under such stress. You know, we don't know what tomorrow is going to look like. I mean, here in Malaysia, you know, our MCOs and CMCOs, you know, we can't really make concrete plans. I mean, for our business, usually we do face-to-face workshops. And literally in 2 weeks last year, we transformed all our programs to be delivering virtually. So these kind of transformations that the businesses have had to do, it's never been done before. And just to remember, you know, maybe looking at KPIs only is not the way to go right now. I know it's frustrating because we're under pressure to perform, but in the long run, I think if we are open and maybe we have show more empathy to the people around us, I think the productivity is going to be scalable. You know, I think when things start to normalize and businesses pick up, I think, you know, that connection that we have with the people that we work with, but also the companies and the, you know, the company culture, I think can really benefit from an opportunity like this.
I'm here with Ulrika Brunner of Inspire Group Asia. We'll continue our conversation after this. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Bulldozing fine measures. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're listening to Her Vantage on Enterprise. Good morning, and this is Frida Liu and Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm speaking to Ulrika Brunner, the CEO of Inspire Group Asia. We're talking about learning and development and how that needs to change or has to change, during this period. Now, you know, when you look at learning and development, right, of course, this is something that all organizations should look at. And should things be different just because, you know, we're all going through a crisis, we've gone through a crisis, or, if your learning and development game plan has always been concrete, right, things should be okay.
Yeah, I think if you have a structured approach which you are communicating clearly and you have involved the different stakeholders in developing the learning solutions that you've been rolling out, then, you know, the tweaks that you need to do are probably a lot less, right? Mm-hmm. But I think, we believe very strongly in including not just the people that are going to be going through the different programs that you roll out, but also the champions in terms of, you know, senior leadership, making sure that the message is there that this is what's happening and why it's happening. If we have our senior leadership team going through a program of 6 months, what are they going to be experiencing? And, you know, even the people that report to them know what's going on,
right,
which actually, Frida, you know, it ends up with them being able to hold their bosses to account. It's like, I know you've been going through this leadership program and I know you've covered this. So what's going on in that state?
Right.
So really taking that, it's not just about ticking boxes. You know, we believe very strongly in that you need to have everybody in the room clear on why are you doing these different learning solutions, what works best, what wouldn't work in terms of the company culture, but also the individuals that are going to be part of it and supporting it.
Okay. And what should companies be prioritizing this year in terms of staff's growth?
In terms of staff growth, you know, it's how are we creating a culture where the people leaders feel that they are supported and they have the resources to reach out and get support when they need it.
Right.
And I think, you know, that comes back a little bit to what I was mentioning earlier, this focus on coaching and mentoring and also communication, which we've seen a lot this year. It's really creating that open door policy of we can talk about the challenges that we are facing and let's face them together. You know, not hiding things under the rug just because I'm a boss, I have to be Superman or Superwoman.
Right.
That it doesn't work in this kind of scenario. You know, people are already handling so much stress and they need to feel supported and also getting the support that is most, you know, that's going to work best for them. So have them involved in actually deciding on what sort of support they're going to get.
Okay. Right. Now, what about companies who say, well, we don't have the resources or the funds to do this? What can you do?
You know what? This is one, a beautiful thing. You know, at the beginning of lockdown, I was locked out of Malaysia. I was in the UK and Scotland for 4 months. And because of the different time zones, I was fortunate. I could spend a lot of time reaching out to people in the UK. And they're just in the UK. There's lots of groups that you can join. There's on Facebook, et cetera. You know, I'm happy to share that later with anybody who would like to know. But there's a lot of groups, support groups in the learning and development space, people that we can reach out to for ideas. And, you know, I just love this business that I'm in because there is so much care for people, right? Everybody wants to make a positive impact. So if you reach out to other learning and development peers, you're going to see that they're going to be able to share a lot of information with you. I mean, you know, Frida, you mentioned you've seen on our LinkedIn and also on our website, we share a lot of material just from Inspire Group. And there's so many more organizations that are doing the same. So, you know, make the most of using the free tools that are out there.
Right.
Things like this guide to having more powerful conversations, which what we're seeing and what I truly believe is going to be the foundation of, you know, how we survive this. You can get so many free resources online. You know, just look for powerful one-on-one conversations or coaching conversations. What sort of questions can I ask, or even ask my supervisor to ask me in terms of how they can help me and where I'm at? Use the resources. There's so much out there. If you just spend a little bit of time looking online. So yeah, you don't have to spend hundreds and thousands of ringgit on, you know, leadership programs. You can start off small and start creating that culture of powerful conversations.
Right. And I have to ask as well, you know, one of the things that you also just recently shared was, you know, using personas in your learning design. Why is that important? How does that work?
It's so good. We do this in, I mean, you know, we're every solution that we put together, we make sure that it's a blended approach, right? Mm. So you have the workshops, whether they're virtual or face-to-face. We always recommend, in terms of the communication tool, that you have some sort of e-learning module or a communication tool that goes out to the participants. So that's when the persona comes in, mm-hmm. Where you create the story. So first of all, when you start looking at creating personas in your learning design, make sure, again, that you have the right stakeholders part of this conversation.
Right.
So you're involving the actual learners during the initial design stage to really get their input, but also other representatives of, you know, the audience that are going to be supporting the learning that's going to come out of using this persona, right? Mm-hmm. Another thing is also what we always use is a persona template. Mm-hmm. And this, you can get it from our website as well if it's not something that you think would help you. And I would recommend that you consider this for any communication that you need to do, supporting any activity. I mean, you could even consider this, for example, in onboarding programs, right? Mm. That you actually create that persona. Here's Jackie. She's just joined us today, and this is what she's going to encounter. So you know, creating that story, it makes it more relevant for me. I can actually imagine myself in that person's shoes, right? And we have some recommendations on what sort of platforms you can use and helping you to create that persona template with the different stakeholders in the meeting. Mm-hmm. So you can use that. And then when you're doing this, you need to focus on beliefs, motivations, and frustrations, which is really interesting because you need to have a clear idea of what the learner believes about themselves, mm-hmm. what they do, what motivates them to learn more, and what are some of the frustrations they face every day. And, you know, Frida, it's so interesting when I speak to people that are in charge of learning and development in particular, they forget to actually ask these questions, right? They think, oh, you know, I know what the problem is, so I'm actually going to create a solution. But they don't actually ask the people, what do you believe about yourself? What are you doing? And what motivates you? And what's challenging for you every day? So just getting that right as well is really powerful. Mm-hmm. And great way also to make your personas more powerful is find your inner four-year-old. So when you're trying to define this persona, the 3-4-year-old is always asking why, right? Mm. So when you're starting this process of asking the questions, you know, what do you say, do, believe, and how do you behave? Also ask them why, you know, when you're getting these learners to give you the input. And don't just ask one time, but really drill deep down, because that's when you will find the really useful issues that you can then bring out in what these personas are showing up with. So this is all really focused on, you know, how is this going to be useful for the learner in question, right? We do this in all the like e-learning modules, etc., that we do. And sometimes, you know, you'll create different personas showing off different areas that you're trying to cover. So that can be really interesting. And of course, integrating data and evidence. So this sometimes, you know, is based on research. It can be things that maybe already exist in the organization that people are familiar with. Maybe something that is already being measured. Like also thinking of, you know, how much time does the organization actually allow for learning every week? Is there space for this? Mm-hmm. And do people have the technology and the resources available to access the learning? Maybe not everybody doesn't have a laptop. So how are we making sure that this is fully integrated also on mobile, for example? You know, this may sound very simple, but very often we forget to do this. I mentioned it before, but making sure that the stakeholders are with you on the journey, so they're actually part of the design process. So the impact is there and the conversation can continue.
Right.
And of course, the power of storytelling, you know, it's creating these personas. This is it, right? You are telling a story which is engaging. You know, I want to know more what's going on with this person, and I can really connect with them. You know, I empathize with what's going on in their space and the first day that they joined the company. That's exactly what I felt like, etc. So you're really creating that powerful story. And always add a bit of fun. We're very passionate about fun.
Right.
You know, try to be cheeky.
And it is important, right? I mean, we got to, in these sort of challenging times, we've got to be a bit lighthearted about things as well. When you talk about these personas, right, I mean, it's just having that conversation. Some people are going through having to take care of the household and, you know, teaching from home. Some people have parents to take care of. So when you understand, you know, what's going through a person's life, you sort of work better. The fact that you understand what's going on in a person's life makes a difference in the whole learning
Absolutely.
Progress, right? Well, thanks for spending your morning, part of your morning with us. Eureka Bruno, the CEO of Inspire Group Asia. You've been listening to Enterprise. I'm Frida Liu, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.